Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
John Canzano. Raw. Sourced. Fresh. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, built by high-caliber millwrights, this is The Bald-Faced Truth.
A really good read. Barry Trammell. He's good. Like, if you are looking just as a reader who likes good writing, good reporting, a guy who's been at it a long time, Barry Trammell, one of the best around, and it's been a real treat for me over the years in college football to read Barry Trammell. And now I think one of the most delightful things about this playoff series was I was like, oh, I get to read some Barry Trammell on the Blazers and the Thunder. He joins us now. He was at the game two last night. Are you back in Oklahoma now?
The wonders of modern technology, John. I landed in Oklahoma City at 1 o'clock. Oklahoma time, which is 11 a.m. Portland time, for crying out loud.
That's crazy. You got back there.
It is crazy.
It's not the easiest.
No red eye. Not even a red eye.
It's not the easiest trip, Portland to OKC, because you got. It's a challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, the good thing is they fly diagonal. Like some of the guys went to Salt Lake. We actually flew to Denver, so we're going at an angle. But some of the Thunder crew had to fly to Minneapolis,
no.
Straight south. So they're going straight east and then straight south. That's a killer. But at least we were flying diagonal.
What'd you think of games one and two? Trouble in Thunderland?
Oh, I mean, serious trouble. Yeah, I thought the Thunder played pretty well game one. They just couldn't make any shots. Then last night, they still couldn't make any shots. They just didn't play very well. And that's how you get a blowout. So I think they got to make a few shots, and they got to play well, protect the ball, get out on the Blazer shooters, those kinds of things. They just, you know, it was a bad combination last night. And the truth is, John, this Thunder team has not played well for 2 months. They've not played well since the All-Star break. They ended the season with a 5-game winning streak. They were playing a little desperate. The schedule finally lightened up some for them. But this has not been a very good team for 2 months. And I think we're seeing that in this series.
What would if the Blazers win the next two games and sweep the Thunder out, is that going to be cause for some big changes in OKC? Or will it be dismissed as, hey, we just didn't play our best basketball when it mattered?
I don't think. The Thunder's a little bit like the Blazers in that they're not reactionary. You know, the Blazers go out in two straight years in a sweep, and they didn't fire Terry Stotts. I don't think the Thunder's going to fire Billy Donovan. The Thunder's set in stone with Paul George and Russell Westbrook, so I don't anticipate massive roster overhauls. They believe in their system. They believe in their culture. Maybe they shouldn't, but they do. So I don't think you'll see any major changes, but clearly they got to get more shooting. You know, the league changed on them here in the last, whatever, 4 or 5 years. And you know, the three-point game is such a huge part of the NBA now. Portland's got shooting. The Thunder doesn't. And it's so hard to win when you're getting bulldozed in the three-point game. You got to be so much better in so many other areas that the math really doesn't work. Paul George told us last night, you know, people say, what are you going to do about your shooting? And he said something that had to petrify Thunder fans. He said, well, we just got to keep shooting. But he's probably right. They can't beat Portland without making some threes. So they got to keep shooting them.
We're talking to Barry Trammell. He is the sports columnist at the Oklahoman. He's been all over this series. What's been the biggest surprise for you in the series?
The disappearance of Jeremy Grant. You know, you Blazer fans, people in Portland, they probably haven't even noticed because he's not a well-known player. He's not a high-profile guy. No reason, unless you're a serious NBA student, to even know how well he's played this year. But he's been very good this year. He shot 39% from deep this year, averaged 13.8 points a game. Really good rim protector. He's turning into a really good player. And he's just disappeared in this series. I mean, he's not making any shots. His defense has not really been too prevalent. The most notable thing he's done is he fouled Lillard on the three-point shot last night when it was still, you know, sort of a ball game. So he's a solid individual and he's a solid player. I didn't think he would disappear. Terrence Ferguson is 20 years old. You know, the stage was probably going to be too big for him, but I did not expect Jeremy Grant to go into missing persons.
Russell Westbrook is a little bit of an enigma to me. I love watching him play. I think his intensity is fun to watch. I don't know what he's going to do. He's unpredictable. I also think he'd be a nightmare to cover on a regular basis.
Well, he is a nightmare to try to cover if you want to interview him. He doesn't answer any of my questions, but the truth is he really doesn't answer anybody's questions. He just does it with different words with me, the same words, same two words over and over. He's not the least bit insightful, but you said it, John. You can't take your eyes off of him. I mean, every game the Thunder plays is interesting. They're wildly entertaining, and he's a big part of that and has been, frankly, for 11 years. So he's an Oklahoma institution, and we're glad we got him. We're glad he's here. But he can frustrate the heck out of you, not just in the press conference, but in the way he plays at times, and you've seen it in this series. I thought he played really well game one. Looked like a classic point guard even. And then last night, a bunch of bad shots, some lapses on defense while he's arguing with the refs, those kinds of things. That Jeremy Grant foul that I mentioned, Grant's out there on Lillard because Westbrook didn't get back on defense. Somebody had to go out on Lillard. So he will drive you nuts, even if you take out the interview part of it.
We're talking to Barry Trammell. He's a columnist at The Oklahoman, joining us here from Oklahoma City. Game 3 is Friday in Oklahoma City. Your history with Westbrook, I asked you a little bit about it last night off air. How did it start with him going next question, next question, next question? Can you pinpoint the moment where this is where it went sideways?
Well, it goes back 3 or 4 years. And he was up. He got. I had no idea. I really didn't even know he knew who I was. Even though at that time he had been in the league 7 or 8 years, and I've certainly been here for all of it. But there's really no relationship. There's no anything. And just out of the blue one night, he wasn't answering questions. He had a triple-double back when that wasn't common against the Warriors. And he was stonewalling every question. And I said, Russ, is something wrong? And he said, no, why? I said, well, you're not answering anybody's question. He said, I just don't like you. Well, that's the first time I ever knew that he had a problem with me. People said, oh, was that, you know, that had to sort of discourage you. I said, actually, it encouraged me because it's the first time I had any kind of evidence that he knew who I was. So that's sort of what we're dealing with here. And, you know, what his personal grudge with me, I don't know. He's gotten upset with me 2 or 3 times over the years and continually since January, about 3 months ago. I don't think it's anything I've written because I'm generally he's a superstar. He's great. He's Mr. Triple-Double. We write mostly glowing things about him. But something about, I guess, the questions I ask or the way I ask them, he doesn't like. So he invents enemies. He needs enemies. You know, Michael Jordan was that way, they say. I never covered Jordan, but they say he just needed fuel to get himself going. And even before this series, I compared myself to Damian Lillard quite a bit because I tell people, I said, watch those Blazer Thunder games over the last several years. Lillard's never done anything to Russell Westbrook And yet Westbrook has just sort of picked Lillard out of a crowd and say, that's my enemy.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just sort of, it's, and of course Lillard's a competitor, so he sort of at times will get worked up, but I think it's just Westbrook saying, I need somebody to get me going. And on the court, it's Lillard and a few others around the league. In the media, it's me right now, and it'll be somebody else at some point. I think that's just sort of the quirk in his personality.
When I look at this series, I think I'm struck by two things. One, I mean, I think the Blazers look so much free. They're so free on the court. They're playing with swagger and confidence. They didn't have that in the last two postseasons. And then I look at the really bad shooting by Oklahoma City. I thought, well, maybe this team just hasn't shot well all year, but they've never shot less than 21%. They've done it now in back-to-back games.
The two worst shooting games of the year, regular season and two playoff games, have been these two playoff games. Not just the percentage, which they've been under 20% both of these games, 5 of 33, 5 of 28, but also in volume. The fewest three-pointers they made in a game was 6 all year. And now they've gone back-to-back games making 5. So it's just a slump. Now, the Blazers are playing some pretty good defense. They're getting out on those shooters pretty good. You know, I was struck by Terry Stotts' comment after game one where, you know, the Thunder went 5 of 33 and everybody was asking him to, you know, pat himself on the back. And Stotts said, you know what, we let him shoot too many. 33 is not a good number. We don't want Paul George shooting 14 three-pointers because he's going to make a bunch of them. So, to me, that was an interesting comment. So the Blazers are committed to that three-point line defensively. And, you know, the Thunder's got to take some, and they got to make some because, you know, Portland's going to take them with all those guys they got that can shoot. And in the NBA math these days, you got to make some threes to keep up.
Barry Trammell of the Oklahoman with us. Give us the Oklahoma City Thunder fan base. Are they concerned? Is the sky falling? Or are they going, hey, this is how it's supposed to go. They win their two. We win our two. Then the series starts.
The sky's falling. The sky's falling. And the truth is, It's not just these two games. I mean, they've known for 2 months that this team isn't right. And maybe it's Paul George's shoulders hurt, although he actually played pretty good yesterday and shot okay. Alex Abrines was, you know, their best three-point shooter. And he's, you know, whatever happened to him, some personal problem. He ended up getting out of his contract in mid-season, and that, It's a flawed team. It's an interesting team. They got elite talent, but it's not a well-constructed roster in its present form, and we've known that now for the better part of 2 months. So people didn't have a great deal of optimism. When they drew Portland, though, people got a little excited because of the loss of Nurkic, because, you know, he's played so well against the Thunder. And without Nurkic, people thought, well, you know, Steven Adams can dominate. And Steven Adams has played well, but that hasn't been enough. And now people are realizing, you know, this season is going to end very soon, very soon.
Barry Trammell with us. You don't like Oklahoma City to last very much longer.
No, you know, even if the Thunder won two games in Oklahoma City, which they could, I don't think they will, but they could, and then you're still back to a best-of-three series with two games in Portland, and nothing we've seen has shown that the Thunder's capable of getting out and playing well and shooting well against the Blazers, and that's the problem, I think. That's how they're going to have to win. They're going to have to do both of those things. They're going to have to play well and shoot well. And getting both of those things aligned at the same time seems like a long shot in Portland. So, I think it's a heavy advantage to the Blazers right now.
Billy Donovan, coach of the Thunder, is there an adjustment? Is he the kind of coach that has an adjustment in his arsenal? What can we expect maybe in Game 3?
It's just, you know what, maybe he can the one thing, it's nothing personnel. They got no personnel moves to make. The roster's pretty limited. They're playing nine guys, and one of them's Raymond Felton, who's basically brought out of mothballs. So, you know, there's not a lot he can do personnel-wise. Maybe encourage somebody like Dennis Schroeder. Schroeder's actually shooting okay in this series on his mid-range. Maybe 6 out of 9 on the mid-range. Maybe they can run some more plays for Schroeder. He's only 8 from 3, 6 of 9 from mid-range. Maybe he can shoot some more mid-range shots. I don't know. Maybe they can figure out a way to get the ball to Adams even more. We all love Enes Kanter. We think Kanter is the greatest thing of all time in Oklahoma. If the Blazers don't keep him, everybody in Oklahoma wants Kanter to come back. But he's really no match for Steven Adams, despite that game one heroics. So maybe they can get the ball to Adams more. But the truth of the matter is, there's not a whole lot the Thunder can do. I think they're just going to have to play their game and hope those shots fall. Instead of going 5 of 28, hope they go 9 of 28 and hope that, you know, it makes a difference.
Yeah, if they'd done that in game one, they'd probably win that game.
Yeah, that's why everybody felt pretty good after game one is, well, he's just 5 of 33. It's hard to overcome, but they played really well. You know, and even last night, they had 21 assists. Everybody for years have busted the Thunder for not moving the ball well and those kinds of things. They had more assists last night than the Blazers did. How Russell Westbrook got 11 assists with those guys he's playing with, you know, in terms of shooting, I don't know. But they've shown they can play well. They haven't shown they can shoot well. And until they do both, they're in serious trouble.
Barry Trammell, I appreciate you. I'll see you at Game 3 in Oklahoma City. Are you going to take a breather today, or are you driving to Stillwater? What you got, spring football?
You know, we're down an Oklahoma State football writer, so they put out an all-call for help. So I told them yesterday, well, if you need me, I'll just go straight to Stillwater. But when I was in Denver, I got the word somebody else is going. I did not have to go to Stillwater. So I got to come home, and that's very good news because I'm fairly beat. I got zero sleep in my last night in Portland. So, you know, the West Coast is a fabulous place to visit. I like going out there. But on a work situation, the schedule is a killer because you wake up, you're 2 hours behind. You go to, the ball games, and, you know, the deadline is impossible. So, you know, the West Coast business trips wear me out.
Hey, and I appreciate that, too, because I had a friend who lives on the East Coast tell me a week ago, he said Damian Lillard could score 100 points in a game, and he said, I wouldn't know about it because I'm in bed.
Yeah, that's right. Those, like last night, 10:30, the game started in Cincinnati, Ohio. Last night's game started at 10:30. How do the people on the East Coast even know what's going on out west? It's a problem. It's a problem.
Barry Trammell, I appreciate your time. I will see you on Press Row.
Hey, enjoy your trip to Oklahoma, John.
Will do. There he is, Barry Trammell of the Oklahoman. He's the guy behind the next question. Guy, is Oklahoma City toast? Barry Trammell made it sound like it. I want to take your phone calls. 503-417-7575. What did you see in Game 2? What did you see in Game 1? I'm not as down on the Thunder as Trammell is. Then again, he sees them all the time. He's seen them for months. He's seen them struggle for months. I still look at a team that's got Russell Westbrook. I still look at a team that's got Paul George. And I still say, if Russell Westbrook and Paul George come to play, and frankly, let's be honest here, they've been outplayed by CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard badly in this series. But if those two guys come to play on Oklahoma City's home court, this series could be 2-2. What do you see? 503-417-7575. Blazers and Thunder, two games in the books. By the way, at Moda Center, they give out t-shirts before the games, and they give out little wristbands that light up at different points of the game during the introductions and stuff. The t-shirt last night said Rip City on the front of it. And then the little wrist thing, it lights up during key points of the game. It'll flash. But I asked the usher why so many people just leave that wristband in the arena. And she said that it doesn't light up unless you're in the arena. I think that's a flaw. Because if you want people to take them home, because like the kids at the at my house would love to have those little things if they lit up. You should have a little switch on it. Let it turn on, flash red. Let them have some fun with it. Nobody wants a wristband that only works at the game. That kind of defeats the purpose. Let's go to the phone lines. What'd you see in games one and two of this series? Can the Thunder come back? What kind of confidence do you have? The sky is falling at Oklahoma City. We know that feeling. Remember last year? Against the Pelicans, sky was falling. 2 years ago, sky was falling. Blazers looking pretty good in this series so far. Let's go to Ben in Beaverton. Ben, what's on your mind?
Hey there, buddy. Good to hear you. Well, when we were talking before the series started, you said you wanted to see some nastiness. I wanted to see some urgency.
Yep.
And I think we saw that out of both games one and game two. And I think what we really see now as far as what's going on with Oklahoma City is – I'm seeing a lot of frustration. So as far as the series goes, I think maybe Oklahoma, maybe might be able to pull one more out at home. But I really think Blazers will wrap this one up within five. I just don't see the shots falling. Harkless has frustrated Paul George, even though he's had an injury.
I mean,
the first game, he may have only made one out of five shots, but he had three blocks, and he just locked him down for that entire game, even though he only played 22 minutes. And that's what I'm seeing is I just don't see any help for Russell Westbrook, and I'm just seeing a ton of frustration with him and no shots falling.
Yeah.
So they may get the shots going in game three, but I don't see it really carrying over for game four and definitely not back at Moda Center.
Well, momentum is important in any sporting event, and I think right now the Blazers have all of it. So Oklahoma City, in their defense, or if you're going to construct an argument for Oklahoma City to get back into the series, it starts with the series going back to Oklahoma City. Then it starts with, well, Portland couldn't have played any better. Then it starts with, you throw in the fact Oklahoma City probably couldn't have shot any worse. I mean, if they just missed them all, wouldn't have been that much different than only making 5 of 33 and 5 of 29. So you've got a lot of ammunition if you want to spin it positive. But the ultimate thing is, and I'm big on this, you got to show me result. And Oklahoma City hasn't had a lot of result. I keep looking at things like the quarters in games. You know, Oklahoma City won the first quarter last night. They did. It was 31-26 at the end of one. And then they lost every other quarter of the game, including giving up 37 points in the third. So they only won one of the four quarters last night. So, you know, you could talk about the game one maybe being close on Sunday. But I go back to that game, and Oklahoma City won two quarters. So they've won three out of the eight quarters. So now all of a sudden you go, all right, maybe things aren't that bad. They weren't that far behind in game one. But if they don't start making shots, and if the Blazers don't start missing shots, this is lights out. It's over. And I found it interesting that they will exploit and go to Steven Adams and go to Steven Adams and go to Steven Adams early. But they kind of there becomes a point in game one and in game two where Oklahoma City kind of just went, we can't, this isn't sustainable. We're trading twos for threes. And they start chucking up the threes. I just wonder if they had just been a little better defensively and stayed with feeding Steven Adams, who has had like 11 and 13 in the two halves. In the second half, he's disappeared in games. I fear Oklahoma City, if it was a one-possession game, I think Oklahoma City in a lot of ways is built to get a bucket easier than the Blazers are. I think the Blazers looking, they can work it, they get a three-point shot, they can get a good look, but I think Oklahoma City, if it came down in the half court in a one-possession game, Steven Adams scares the hell out of me.
You really think that Oklahoma City has a better shot than Portland if there's one shot left?
If you give me, I mean, we saw it twice this season, in overtime and in the Russell Westbrook, Steven Adams,
Paul George in a half court and one possession, like if you're just saying one possession wins, that scares me. Like Lillard and McCollum have been lights out, okay, in these two games. It's hard to erase that from your mind because they just have performed. They've done well. But if you, I just look at how easy Steven Adams gets a bucket when they go, let's pick and roll with Steven Adams. It's pretty much a basket. And Oklahoma City has just gravitated away from it to the Blazers' credit, in large part because the Blazers are just coming down. You get a two, we get a three. You get a two, we get a three. You get a two, we get a three. Hey, you've played pretty well. You're down 9 points, or you're down 3 points.
And they're really not defending the three that well. Portland isn't. And they're allowing them to shoot it. They're just not making it. You know, they're not making it consistently. And like you said, trading those baskets. It's hard. You know, I understand there's another guy in Adams, but when you have Dame on your team, I think he is, when it comes down to ice and
playmaker.
Last, yeah, he's ice. I mean, I would take him above any of those
you
guys.
You take him, though.
Yes.
Before this series, or you take him after seeing these two games?
I knew how Russell's been playing this year, and George is hurt. So, yeah, before this series, I'm still taking Dame last second shot any day of the week.
Bryce is in Salem. Bryce, what do you see on the court?
I actually haven't been able to watch the first two games due to my work schedule, but I could see game three going one of two different ways. Either Westbrook, being the competitor that he is, he's going to take over, and he'll just put up really dominant numbers, or he'll just go out there and turn the ball over because he's trying a little too hard and not getting, you know, George involved and Adams involved and other people like that that, you know, should be a part of the game plan.
Yeah, and I think you saw that in game two. Westbrook was really good in game one. He took what the defense gave him. I thought he played a really good game. And if it weren't for that, I think it would be a total disaster for Oklahoma City right now because George was a zero in game one. Now, Paul George came back and played all right in game two. But I don't think anybody with their head right is looking at CJ McCollum and Damian Lillard and saying anything other than the Blazers stars have been better than Oklahoma City stars, including last night, 33 for CJ, 29 for Dame. Shots, shots, shots. 2 at 2 is coming up. You got the bald-faced truth on the BFT radio network.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the bald-faced truth.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald-Faced Truth radio show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald-Faced Truth radio show. Thanks for listening.